When Catherine Savasio started her organic baby skincare company, Aroma Baby, in 1994, China was not on her mind, but opportunity came to her.
Around 10 years ago, we were approached by a gentleman from China who was involved in gene technology and biotech. So he was in that sort of health medical space. And he was actually looking for product for his own baby that was soon to be born. And he scoured the world looking for different brands and ended up approaching us and became our first distributor in China.
The internet as we know it today was years away.
At that time, obviously, there was no JD.com, there was no Alibaba, nobody knew who Jack Ma was, there was no e-commerce. Even the web was in its infancy in terms of the way we look at it now for globalisation.
Ms. Savasio built her brand by physically being in China.
Really, the model has been a lot of groundwork, doing the trade shows, lots and lots of networking, providing these workshops, which is what we're known for. And little by little, the brand became more and more well-known in China, in these circles. I mean, China's a massive market, so it's a drop in the ocean.
A lot has changed since then. The China-Australia Free Trade Agreement has helped reduce barriers, and so has technology, which Ms. Savasio has embraced.
I was one of the early adopters of WeChat, obviously, because I had to be, because I was in the China space. But I find that WeChat's just a normal part of my everyday communication.
Daigo Sao's founder and China business expert Matthew McDougall says the platform is embedded in modern China.
It's actually used by about 951 million people in China, of which about 50 million live outside China using it. And for the Australian viewers, they'd be interested to know that 3 million people in Australia actually use WeChat on a monthly basis.
Mr. McDougall says with no Facebook, Instagram or Twitter in the country, WeChat is the most popular one-stop shop.
A business might use it simply to push out branding messages. Another business might use it to actually do HR and recruitment. Another business might use it for customer service. It's completely adaptable to the environment that the business is using. You can pay for movie tickets. You can pay your gas bills in China. I even saw a chap on the street selling hot potatoes in Beijing with a QR code. So it's completely ubiquitous in Chinese society as a way of payments. WeChat started as a communication platform, but you know, Lunar New Year, we'll see around $3.4 billion of money transferred using Hongbaos or red envelopes. It's much more than just communicating. It's actually a money transfer platform.
The founder of Koala Eco Organic Cleaning Products, Jessica Bragdon, says she uses a third-party service to manage her products on WeChat in Mandarin.
We felt our high-quality products would resonate really well with Chinese buyers. In general, Australian goods have a very strong reputation in China. It's too good an opportunity to pass up.
Australia-China SME Association Vice President Vanessa Xing says she agrees.
These are the opportunities existing in China for Australian SMEs in the healthcare, aging care, tourist, food sectors. That's where and we can tap into and meet the middle class desire and satisfy their demand.
While technology is making it easier to do business, Australia-China SME Association President David Thomas says a multi-channel approach is always best.
There is red tape, but actually our biggest challenge is building relationships on the ground. Trusted, long-term, sustainable relationships where a business opportunity can flourish. That's actually critical to success in China. And of course, e-commerce platforms and others create opportunities to bypass the relationships, but I think most people would tell you that to be successful, you need those relationships on the ground.
Given China's size, starting in a smaller third or fourth tier city may be wise and more manageable.